By the way, Enrique, can I, Enrique, and Enrique does the MMA ground and pound on
Enrique.
Wednesday.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm good. Sorry. Sorry,
you
go.
do the show Sunday, the TKO countdown. But I got you guys here with Eduardo, who's stepping into the octagon for the first time. All right. We're going to talk about your favorite subject, Eduardo. Conor McGregor. He has officially signed his contract January 23rd. He's facing his opponent that he's supposed to fight. He didn't fight or whatever. Now, forget about January 23rd for a second. I'm going to start with Enrique. Doesn't matter if he wins or loses. What's after for Conor McGregor?
Well, there's a lot of scenarios, right? Because I think if he wins, and I think he has a higher probability of winning. If he wins, like, I think the UFC is going to give him a title shot for the lightweight division, right? And if he loses in MMA, he's going to go after boxing, because he was in talks with Manny Pacquiao. They wanted to do a boxing match. He wanted to do boxing with Dustin Poirier, right, for charity. So I think he wants to do boxing, and he saw firsthand that boxing makes a lot of money. So, like, I think he will do well with another $100 million in his bank account, right?
Wait a minute, Enrique. Very interesting question. Wouldn't you do very well with $100 million in your bank account also?
Yeah, I think I will buy a Tim Hortons. That's it.
That's what he would buy, a Tim Hortons. Not bad. All right, what do you think of Conor McGregor?
Well, first of all, that's a very smart decision there by Enrique. Tim Hortons is a cash cow, and is always the first decision you should always make when you come into a windfall like that. But yeah, I mean, Conor McGregor won the first matchup between these guys way back at, I think it was UFC 178 back in 2014. I think that was when Eduardo was just wrapping up his UFC career. So, You know, this is going to be very interesting to see how much Poirier has improved. And he comes into this bout, I think, with an advantage, as he's been the more active fighter. We've seen him decision a very good fighter in Dan Hooker in the summer, in June at UFC on ESPN 12. And I think Conor McGregor has some cobwebs to shake off. You know, we did see him against Donald Cerrone, but it was a very old and listless Donald Cerrone that we saw him beat. So I think there are a lot of questions for Conor to answer still in this matchup.
All right. So let's this Saturday, UFC presents UFC 255 already. When are they going to stop with these numbers? Enrique, like, will we be at UFC 1,608?
Yeah, like, obviously, like, the UFC is going stronger than ever. Maybe thanks for COVID, right? But I like that they put numbers on, like, very big cards, right? Because it's like you're preparing with these cards that are not they don't have like as many well-known fighters, right? But they're good fights, and then you prepare for the main event, so to speak, like UFC 255. So yeah, I like when they put numbers, because it's like you know that you can't miss that one, even for casuals, right?
All right, so let's get to UFC 255. Eduardo, let's go to you. Anything you want to talk about UFC 255? Any match that interests you? Any guy you want to go in the octagon with, or what?
Not really. I like to stay in good health.
Well, don't go in the octagon, all right? Come on, in good health. All right, but let's start off you. Any bout before we touch on the main event, co-main event, any bout you're looking forward to at UFC 255?
So, I haven't looked at the match.
Oh, no, I'm talking Enrique. Enrique.
Sorry. Sorry. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to see my boy Brandon Moreno fight. So, he's ranked number 2. And he's going to fight this guy, Brando Roybal. So Roybal, he fought like 1 or 2 months ago. He gave a hell of a performance. He's like a very gifted fighter. And he's a young up-and-coming fighter. But Brandon Moreno, he has been in the UFC for like some time. He is from Mexico as well. And I think that if he beats Roy Ball, he will get a shot at the title. And that fight will be very interesting.
All right, Kanai, same question to you. Who do you think that is going to win that fight?
You know, I think I have to give Roy Ball the advantage there. That's a close fight, though. I mean, both those guys are really entertaining to watch. So I wouldn't be shocked if either fighter took it, to be honest. But I kind of have give a slight edge to Roy Ball there. But in terms of, you know, other interesting fights on the card, you know, I'm kind of interested in what the sisters are going to do on this card, you know. That's I think they're making history with, you know, two sisters fighting on the same card. So if Antonia can get past Ariane Lipski, that should be an entertaining bout. And, of course, in the co-main event, Valentina defending the title against the former Invicta champion and Jennifer Maya.
All right, so let's get to the co-main event and then the main event, because this card, it features just the co-main event and main event. But let's start off with you. Start off with the co-main event. Anyway, like you said, the former Invicta champion makes the surprise of the year.
You know, it's possible. I mean, Jennifer Maya is no.
It is also possible Eduardo goes into the octagon, but since I said that, he's gone. You know, like nowhere to be seen. But come on, honestly, this would be a surprise, a major, major surprise.
Well, I agree that Shevchenko obviously is the heavy favorite to retain against Jennifer Maya. You know, Shevchenko is simply decimated all of her competition. We still remember the resounding finish against Jessica Ai, you know, and no one has been able to really challenge her at flyweight. So other than Amanda Nunes, and that was at bantamweight. So, you know, I certainly give Shevchenko the advantage here, but Jennifer Maya, you know, she's no tomato can. If she can somehow wear Shevchenko down, somehow get her to the ground, but, you know, that's a tall order against Shevchenko, because even if you get her on the ground, she's very, very, very tough. And on the feet, obviously, she is lightning quick, and those strikes are murder.
All right. Enrique, what do you think of the co-main event?
Wait, like Kanai said, everything can happen, right? So I remember when Holly Holm fought Ronda Rousey, right? I knew Holly Holm. She was a good fighter. She won everything you could ever win in boxing, and she was doing well in MMA. But I thought that it was going to be like another 15, 20 seconds fight for Ronda, right? And we saw that Holly Holm, first of all, she did her homework really well, and she gave a hell of a performance, and she pulled up the upset and made a lot of guys rich, because some people, they bet against Ronda, right? But yeah, anything can happen, but like the champ, she's it's unstoppable, right? Yeah, Valentina, she has only three losses on her record, right? And two of them have been against Amanda Nunes, who is like, she's a killer. I think she's the best female fighter in MMA history. Like, nobody can beat her.
I agree with that. All right. So we'll touch on Nunez in just a second here, but the main event, UFC 255, Saturday in Vegas. Go back to you, Kanai. Who are you calling in this one?
Well, you know, this fight was originally it was supposed to be Cody Garbrandt that was supposed to face Davison. But Cody had to pull out with an injury, and so they pulled Alex Perez from his former fight. You know, you have to give the advantage to Davison. I mean, I mean, going into his last couple of bouts there, you know, destroying the previous perceived favorite in Joseph Benavidez, you know, just destroying him the second time. And, you know, despite, you know, although I like Alex Perez, you know, I like his last fight there, the leg kicks stopping Formiga. He definitely could pull off something, but I personally don't see it. I think Figueiredo is going to take this one, and it should be another stepping stone for Davison, showing that he is another star in the UFC.
Enrique, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with Kanai, because the champion, like, he looks unstoppable. And I remember when he fought Benavidez the last time, like, a lot of people on Twitter, they were like, please just give Benavidez the title. He has been pursuing it for so long. Please just give this guy the belt, right? But, like, it's very interesting that the champ, Figueiredo, he has only one loss in his career. And he lost against Formiga, right? Mm-hmm. And Alex Perez, he beat Formiga. So that's kind of interesting. But, like, can I say it? I don't see, like, Perez pulling up the upset.
Okay, so that's this Saturday, Las Vegas. We'll be on top of it. You know, I got the best two MMA people here, Kanai Andrews and then Enrique here, who joins Ground and Pound show on Monday. He'll cover it. And, of course, you're also going to talk about it on the TKO Countdown. But you talked about Amanda Nunes, and there's – maybe something going on here or what? She was supposed to fight and they took her out of the fight. And no, I don't know. Was there a reason given for that? Can I?
From what I recall, I believe some kind of injury, if I remember correctly. No,
I was told that it's not an injury, and that's Enrique. Maybe you have something else. What is it? Was it an injury or nobody know? It was for undisclosed reasons. That's why they pulled her.
Exactly. Yeah. Like nobody said what happened. And I follow Megan Anderson on Twitter, right? She's a very, very entertaining fighter and as a person. And I remember that before the UFC, like, gave us the news, Megan Anderson tweeted something like, "Terrible news." And then she tweeted something like, "It's true, this happened. The fight has not been canceled. It's going to be postponed for like maybe 2 or 3 months." So I don't know what's going on. It's an interesting fight for sure. It's going to be a tough challenge for Megan Anderson.
So
it was actually an undisclosed injury that Nunes pulled out from. It was later announced that she had an undisclosed injury, Nunes.
Later announced. I just announced it. Like, come on. All right. So you say about, and here's, I'm going to reveal it. Okay. As you know, Amanda Nunes and her girlfriend want to have a baby. Okay. Oh. Now the truth is, I don't know. This is, I haven't heard it from a source or whatever. A couple of other people have said that the girlfriend miscarried, and she was emotionally distraught, to say the least, with COVID, with all this stuff. And this is just hearsay that I have heard from bits and pieces from, you know, colleagues and friends of mine and all that. Now, Amanda Nunes, like I think Enrique said about 5 minutes ago, is the best, forget about lady, best pound for pound person right now in the UFC, and maybe mixed martial arts. So she deserves time away. If people don't talk about this, and this is what I want to talk about, MMA, yes, it's very violent, very brutal, but if your head is not in the game, you're going to lose. And maybe you lose your legacy, because it looks like, and honestly, you talked about a couple minutes ago about Ronda Rousey. Was her head in the game, or did she get up to some level that they're giving her millions, that she's making all these magazine covers and all that, like another girl, like Paige VanZant, like another girl in tennis, you know, Eugenie Bouchard. You win a championship, you get go on dates for if a New York Knicks friend or whatever. And look, what do you think? I'll start with you. What do you think? Could this be true? And if it is true, it's not going to be 3 months. I think it's going to be a little bit longer for her to get mentally. Because don't forget, I forgot to mention Khabib. Khabib retired. And why? Because his mother made him, you know, you can't fight without your dad there.
And yet Dana thinks that Khabib is going to be fighting again. So, yeah, it's certainly possible that, you know, all of this could be part of the reason why Amanda Nunes is pulled out. And certainly if it is happening, I could certainly understand why she is. But, you know, let's remember, though, while Amanda Nunes does deserve time off, you know, she has only defended the featherweight belt once, right? She won the belt in 2018 against Cyborg, and she only defended the featherweight belt just this summer against Felicia Spencer. So the time is ticking in terms of the featherweight belt, you know, and if she takes that time away now, I mean, she's holding up the division, you could argue, if that belt is not defended in a timely manner. So that could be a problem too. I suspect, Dana White is probably looking at the situation very closely because he has to walk both sides of the fence. You know, you don't want to alienate the greatest women's mixed martial artist of all time. At the same time, you have a division there and you have challengers like Megan Anderson patiently waiting for their shot at the crown.
All right, Enrique, what do you say?
Well, I love Rocky movies. I used to watch them with my dad, right? And I remember Rocky III, that's what happens. Rocky is the champ. He starts training on this fancy gym. He's like posing for pictures and stuff.
You know why? In Rocky III, you know what happened? I'm going to tell you. That's when Hogan came along and he got scared. He wasn't saying his prayers, taking his vitamins, saying his prayers and all that, right? Can I?
He certainly wasn't. Wasn't.
That's what happened in Rocky III, but go ahead, Enrique.
But then, like, he realized that, right? And one guy that is hungrier than him, he trains like the old school, and then he takes the championship from him, right? So, yeah, like, your head has to be in the game, and it's something I admire a lot from Conor McGregor. I know a lot of people don't like Conor McGregor, but what he did against Jose Aldo, it's impressive because I think he won that fight before stepping into the octagon, right? Yeah. Because he was bragging about, he was like, I'm the best, I'm going to beat you. And he called it out, I'm going to beat you in 17 seconds. And then maybe even if he wasn't there physically, he was there mentally. And he like pre-visualized everything and he got it done. Same thing, GSP, during a lot of interviews, he's like, he said that he practiced like getting his hand raised on the octagon, right? And yeah, you have to be mentally there. I think Amanda Nunes, she has been a very good fighter from the UFC. She hasn't even given like any problems, and she deserves sometimes off. I agree with Kenai that sometimes champs hold up the divisions. For example, Kamaru Usman, he has like defended the title how many times, like two or three, mm-hmm. and that division is now stalled. So
yeah,
I think she deserves some time off. And Megan Anderson, she was upset, but I think maybe she knows what really happened because she wasn't like very angry, like, oh, like this, she just postponed the fight. I think she was very understanding about the situation because she was very respectful.
That leads to what I'm saying, that you can't, when your partner loses a baby, you know, that takes a toll, right? So it's, and honestly, for Amanda Nunes, I know she's still young and all that, but what's for her to prove?
You know. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree, Joe. She's done everything now, and you know, she's in the twilight of her career. I think. I mean, there's not much else for her to prove. I mean, she's beaten all the greats, and now it's just a matter of how many times can she defend the belt. And she's getting to the age where she's thinking about having a family, and you know, she already has one child, and I'm sure she's thought about, having other children along with her partner there. So, you know, this is the thing that she needs to kind of think about and consider. And I do think she deserves time for that. But at the same time, you know, if she's going to take an extended break here, I think that Dana White should look into, you know, depending on how long of a break she takes, is maybe putting up an interim belt or something like that so that the division can continue to move forward while Amanda Nunes contemplates her life.
Okay, so we got about 10 minutes left with Kenai, Andrews, and Enrique here. Let's talk about some other people or fighters in the UFC, specifically, and you know I'm going to bring him in, John Jones. Okay, I have heard that within the next month, probably the year-end pay-per-view, which is always big for UFC, they'll announce something about John Jones. So I'll start off with Enrique this time. Enrique, if you were Dana White, well, maybe I should start off with Kanai because he has the same hairstyle like Dana White. But anyways, if you were Dana White, who would you pair John Jones with? Enrique.
Okay, so I think they're going to announce John Jones against Stipe Miocic. John Jones, he has been training hard these days. He has been gaining weight. He's now around 225, and I think just a few hours ago, he tweeted that he was looking good and that he expects to hit 235 soon. And I'm very excited. Like, I'm wearing John Jones' jersey. I love his style. He's like, if not the smartest fighter in the UFC, one of the smartest. And he's naturally gifted because his reach is outstanding. And like physically, he has like these long legs, right? And long arms. So that's why he keeps poking people, right? Poking eyes because he's keeping the distance, right? And nobody can hit him. So if this fight will be huge because Stipe, he's arguably the best heavyweight ever. And John Jones is going to take that challenge. And if John Jones wins, like, I think there's not going to be like any argument about who's the best pound for pound fighter anymore.
All right. That brings up a question. I'll continue with Enrique, then go to Kanai. If John Jones wins, does Daniel Cormier come out of retirement to take on John Jones for the heavyweight title yet again?
You know, it was pretty funny because this week they have been going like on Twitter, like because Daniel Cormier said that Khabib was the pound for pound fighter that like upset a lot to John Jones, right? He's so mad about that. And John Jones, he's saying that he beat Cormier fair and square. I think John Jones, maybe if he's not better than Daniel Cormier, he knows how to beat Daniel Cormier, right? So I don't think Daniel Cormier will come back from retirement to face John Jones.
Okay. Can I have same questions to you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Enrique. I think John Jones and Daniel Cormier has run its course. We've seen that fight several times. And, you know, John Jones has proven, despite, you know, what happened afterwards, that he was the better fighter. And more importantly, fans do not want to see that fight anymore. So, you know, who should John Jones fight at heavyweight? You know, I remember when they were discussing initially when they were negotiating with Francis Ngannou. I thought that was an interesting fight there against Ngannou. I thought that was an amazing fight. You could make an argument that John Jones could go straight to the top and fight Stipe. Although obviously, you know, the top 10 would be a little bit perturbed about that. But if not Stipe, put him against Ngannou, put him against the top 5 guy, maybe like Alistair Overeem, maybe Curtis Blaydes, something like that. But Curtis Blaydes is already fighting soon. So, you know, it does make sense to kind of look toward either Miocic or Ngannou for John Jones. I would like to see both of those fights.
All right. And if he beats them, where does he go from there?
Well, if he beats them, he's got to do the same thing that he did at light heavyweight. I mean, this is John Jones's chance for redemption. You know, all the controversy at light heavyweight, you know, the charges, you know, failing drug tests, all that sort of thing that interrupted his reign in the light heavyweight division. He has a chance to start clean, start fresh, and establish his dominance at heavyweight. If he can do that, if he can run the table at heavyweight, I mean, he would undisputably be the greatest of all time because no one would have been able to have done that. So, you know, there's plenty of work of John Jones to do at heavyweight, and it starts with being consistent, starting fresh, and putting these guys away. None of this failing drug tests and funny stuff that we saw before.
All right. And I'm going to ask you point blank, both of you guys. I'll start off with Kanai. right now, November, what day is it? November 19th, 2020. Who's the best ever in the octagon in your eyes?
The best ever. Who? Well, I immediately John Jones comes to mind for me. And then I would also say near the top there is also Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse. I still think he won that fight against Cejudo. It should have been 12 title defenses in a row there. And that would have certainly cemented him as at least put him in the conversation among more people. Who else? You got to look at Amanda Nunes there. And George St. Pierre, obviously.
One is George St. Pierre. Come on, I expected you to be the first one, George St. Pierre. I'm going to call him up and say, can I, Andrews, called you fourth as the greatest ever?
I already called him. You said, don't worry about it.
All right. Enrique, what do you say?
Well, right now, I think Jon Jones. But it's a very hard question because where's Anderson Silva, right? And also GSP. Personally,
where's Khabib?
Where's Khabib as well, yeah. So
yeah, Khabib, yeah.
About GSP, I was like a few days ago, the fight against Johnny Hendricks turned like 7 or 8 years, something like that. And a lot of people, they were saying like, no, Johnny won that fight.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a hard test for GSP, but I don't think Johnny Hendricks won that fight, because remember, to be the champ, you have to beat the champ. So I don't think he did enough. But yeah, GSP is, I love like his career, because he was a gentleman in the octagon and outside the octagon, something Jon Jones has a lot to learn, right, from. But also, yeah, Stipe, he has beaten like one of the heaviest punchers. Like he beat Ngannou, who is a killer. You have also Demetrius Johnson, because some people, they were calling him boring. But like, no, if you see his fights, if you watch his fights again, he's so technical and everything he does is like on point. Like nobody can hit him. So yeah, he's one of the best for sure.
All right.
And so, don't forget Verdum. Fabricio Verdum became Velasquez and a lot of those guys.
What about Brock Lesnar? What about Brock Lesnar or Connor? Come on.
Hey, I love Brock Lesnar, but unfortunately he had he got the belt and defended it once, but then that twirl, that 360 twirl against Kane kind of soured it for me.
And what about Connor? Come on, or Ronda Rousey? Come on.
Ronda Rousey definitely up there. It's all about the moment, right? Because, currently Anderson Silva just retired. So obviously he's generating the conversation. And John Jones is in the news again. So naturally these guys come up to the forefront when you talk about the GOATs. But you should never really forget, Joe, you're right. Like people like Ronda Rousey, George St. Pierre, Hoyce Gracie is still up there for me. The guy comes up, fights four fights, takes out four guys in less than 10 minutes and wins the first two UFCs. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. All right. So you guys, Enrique, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you, first of all.
Well, we're on the Barboner Network on the MMA Grand and Pound show on Mondays for results and analysis at 7 and Wednesdays for my predictions and analysis at 7. And you can reach me at Enrique Drums MX on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.
All right, Kanai, go ahead.
All right, well, we're on TKO Countdown. We air Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can reach me at Kanai Andrews on Facebook, Instagram, and all social media.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. You can see we're joined by two other guys. So thank you.
Always a pleasure, Enrique.
A pleasure, Kanai, as always. Thank you, Joe. Have a good night.
Good night.
Have a good night, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.